celebrate the 88th year of the founding of AA in Akron, Ohio, with this 1988 version of Joe and Charlie, brought to you by the big book, livingalive.com.
You know, I think today, if our fellowship could collectively get back into the program in the book, then I believe we can start helping people again like we did back in the beginning. Now, many people in AA today say, well, the problem is that people come into AA don't want to get sober. They're sent here by the judge, or they come here from a treatment center, or various other different means, and they don't want to even talk about AA stuff. Well, you know, that's really not their fault. Because the only thing the new people know to talk about is what they have been taught and the things that they have heard. I think the real culprit in the whole mess today is we older members of Alcoholics Anonymous are not insisting that we talk about the recovery from the disease using the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous in the book. And we older members tend to sit back and let the newcomer take over and let them determine what the program's going to be within our groups. Or we older members say, I can't communicate with those people, so I'm just going to stay home. And we abdicate our responsibility. I think the real problem is that those of us in AA that have recovered are not insisting that we use our program as the book outlines in our groups today. I really can't blame that on the newcomer. And by the way, I think it's very ironic also that for 50 years, we've been trying to get the judges and the hospitals and the treatment centers to send people to AA. And today they are, and we just bitch and gripe and raise hell about it. And we've been trying to get them in here for 50 years. We promise now we won't preach anymore all weekend. That's all the preaching we'll do. I do think if we could get back in our book, as outlined in the program, we would see many of the newer people coming to AA today recover from this disease, many that we're losing. And I really don't think it's their fault. I believe it's our fault. By not insisting in our groups that we use the program of recovery as outlined in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. Okay, now that we've got that out of the way, let's go to the table of contents. Let's look a little bit about how the book is laid out, and then we'll move right on.
Okay.
Now, from time to time, we're going to have a little picture up here on this screen. You'll always have a handout sheet to match it. And if you can't see it too good on the screen, you'll have your sheet right there in front of you.
Okay, as we went over the history, we looked at those three things. And remembering those three parts of problem solving, really, we're going to look at and see how our chapters are laid out and what we're going to, as we proceed through the book. Now, and we'll begin with what is the problem? We're going to use a doctor's opinion and Bill's story. This is a section of the textbook that gives us the information to find what is the problem. As we go through here and talking about problem solving, we're talking about the problem of alcoholism. This is not a new process. This is old. This is nothing new. A didn't create this process. There is one way to solve a problem. There is a procedure. And it's always the same. It don't make a difference what kind of problem it is. It's always the first procedure in problem solving is what is the problem. You have to have that information first. We go to a doctor. The doctor makes a diagnosis to find out what is our problem. And we say alcoholism is a kind of a unique illness. It's the only illness in which the patient has to make a self-diagnosis to find out what is his problem. And this is pretty hard to do, by the way. It's very hard for an alcoholic to make a self-diagnosis. Why? Because alcoholism is also one of the only diseases that tells the patient he ain't got it. You know, that's why you can tell who's got it. The one that swears he ain't got it's got it. You know, you see one of these social drinkers and you say, you ask one of them social drinkers, you might be an alcoholic. He'd say, I might be. Well, he ain't got it. It's the one that ain't got it's got it. So the first thing we find out is what is the problem? And then let's boil it down. In the first step, we find out our problem is powerless. Powerless. Okay. Now, once we found that we are powerless, then we can come to the solution. And in the second phase, what is the solution to the problem? And that, by the first chapter, there is a solution, more about alcoholism and we agnostics. These three chapters will tell us the solution to alcoholism. Now, obviously, it's from the first step that we learn the second step. Because if you are powerless, the solution obviously would be power. And since we can't do anything about the allergy, We believe this power would have to work in the mind. Therefore, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So the first two steps is, first step is powerless, second step is power. And then we come to the main purpose of the book. You know, the main purpose of the book is recovery. And that's in how it works, into action, working with others, which contains steps 3 through 12. The plan and program of action, if taken, that will enable us to find the power, and the power will solve the problem. So we're gonna have three things: powerless, power, and then how do you find that power? Just that simple. Three simple things that interact together. Knowing first that we have to have the foundation, which is the first step, to find the second step. Then we have to have the second step to set up the plan, program of action. So as we go through here, we'll be talking about three things: problem, solution, and plan, program of recovery.
And this is true with all problems. Yeah. Doesn't make any difference what the problem is. Before you can solve a problem, you got to know what the problem really is. For instance, you all had pretty heavy snow up here yesterday, and the roofs of your houses are covered with snow. And as that snow melts, let's say you're sitting in your living room, and all of a sudden the water comes dripping out of the ceiling. Well, on the surface of things, it looks like your problem is you've got a leaking roof. But that really isn't your problem. Your problem is, where does that sucker leak? And if you can once find out where it leaks, then you can determine a solution. Because you see, it could be leaking through a shingle, or it could be leaking through a valley, or it could be leaking around the chimney. And it'll take a different solution in all three cases. But when you once isolate the problem, then you can determine a solution, and then based on the solution, you can take a program of action and solve the problem. And the problem with this disease of alcoholism, prior to 1933, nobody knew what the problem was. So they kept trying to apply solutions that did not work. Now, when these people found this out back in the 30s and understood the problem, then they could pick the right solution and then the right program of action. And all they did was take their knowledge and put it down in a written form in the same sequence that they had to learn it. And as we go through the book, we're going to see that the book is written in that same sequence, feeding us the information we need to know in order to be able to see those three things. Let's look for just a moment at the preface. It says this is the third edition of the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. The first edition appeared in April 1939, and in the following 16 years, more than 300,000 copies went into circulation. The second edition, published in 1955, reached a total of more than 1,150,000 copies. Because this book has become the basic text for our society and has helped such large numbers of alcoholic men and women to recovery, there exists a sentiment against any radical changes being made in it. Therefore, the first portion of this volume describing the AA recovery program has been left untouched in the course of revisions made for both the second and the third editions. I think there's two little ideas here. First, the words basic text. When I see those, I think I'm alerted to the type of book I have in front of me. You know, there's all kinds of books in the world today. Most of us know, though, what a textbook is. And most of us don't remember them too fondly. You know, we remember in school that you used a textbook, and you had to study, and you had to work, and there was always a chance of failure because you had to take tests on what you'd studied. And most of us wasn't too crazy about textbooks. But I think if we would view a textbook as a simple tool used to transfer information from the mind of one human being to the mind of another human being, the one who uses the book, then their knowledge and information would increase. And really, that's all teaching is. Teaching is just a person or a group of people conveying information through the written word, spoken word, or other ways into the minds of other people. And when they do, the other people will have an increased knowledge of that subject, whatever it might be. Well, here we're dealing with the subject of alcoholism. And most people who come to AA in the beginning know nothing at all about alcoholism. We know about drinking. We know about getting drunk and getting in jail and getting in divorce courts. but we know nothing about alcoholism. So our textbook is going to be laid out in a manner to feed us that information. Step-by-step procedure, just like a textbook on mathematics is designed. You know, if I had a textbook on mathematics, let's say my friend Joe here, let's say Joe knows nothing about mathematics at all. He can't even add and subtract. He can count to 21 if he's standing there naked and got everything where it belongs, you know. And I walk up to Joe and I say, Joe, I want you to go to chapter 5 in this textbook on mathematics and work the algebra problems. Well, being a good fellow, he would go to chapter 5, but he sees the algebra problems, and they look just like so much Greek to him. He doesn't even know how to add and subtract. He surely can't understand how to do algebra. But if I say, Joe, chapter 1 in this textbook on mathematics deals with addition and subtraction. And if you'll read it and study it and ask questions whenever you need to, you'll learn how to add and subtract in chapter 1. And sure enough, he does that. And then I say, now, chapter 2 deals with fractions and decimals, or with addition, with multiplication and division. And based on what you learned in chapter 1, you can go to chapter 2 and learn how to multiply and divide. And he does that. Then I say, now, number 3 deals with fractions and decimals. Based on what you learned in 1 and 2, you can now go to number 3. And gradually he progresses through the book, and by the time he gets to chapter 5, the algebra problems, lo and behold, he can read them, understand them, and learn how to do algebra. I think the greatest mistake we're making in AA today, the newcomer walks in, we hand them the book, we say, go to chapter 5 and do what it says and you'll be all right. And they go to chapter 5, they open it up, and the first thing they see is how it works. And step 1 says, we admitted we were powerless over our carnal lives and become unmanageable. He said, hell, don't tell me I'm powerless. I ain't powerless over nothing. And step 2 says, we came to believe that a power greater than self can restore us to sanity. He said, man, don't tell me I'm crazy. Yeah, I do stupid things when drinking, but when sober, I'm like other people. Well, if you're not powerless and you're not nuts, then you sure don't need step 3 to turn your will and life over to something you don't understand anyhow. We believe that all the information necessary to be able to read, understand, and accept chapter 5 will be found in the doctor's opinion in the first 4 chapters of the big book. If we can't show anything else this weekend, we hope that we can get that one particular idea across, that this is a textbook. It is written in a certain sequence, and the doctor's opinion in the first 4 chapters really prepare us for the information in chapter 5. I think the other important point here is that because so many men and women have recovered from our disease using this book, there exists a sentiment against any radical changes being made in it. Therefore, the first portion of the volume describing the AA recovery program has been left untouched. Now, this book we have sitting up here by us, this red one, is a first edition, first printing that came out in 1939. And you can very easily see why they call it the Big Book. Now remember, these people were cunning, baffling, and powerful also, real alcoholics. And they knew the bigger the book is, the better it will sell. And if you'll notice, the outside measurements on it are quite large. But if you open the pages up and look inside of it, the printed portion is exactly the same as it is today. The margins are quite wide. And they printed it on the cheapest, thickest old paper they could find, so it would be thick and appear to have lots and lots of information in it. The bigger it is, the better it's going to sell. Now, whether I'm reading this book, or the second edition, or the third edition that's in front of me now, the recovery program has remained the same. Now, the fellowship has changed, but the recovery program in the book has not changed. And this weekend, we're going to be looking at the recovery program in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous.
I just can imagine a drunk trying to sneak into a meeting with a big, trying to hide that big red book. It was pretty hard, wouldn't it?
Let's go to the forward to the first edition for just a moment. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. And again, 2 ideas. First, we are more than 100 men and women. You see, this is not a one-person, one-author book. All we know that Bill Wilson wrote it. But we also know that first 40 told Bill, said, Bill, we want you to write the book. You know more about it than any of the rest of us. You're the guy who started it. But they said, as you write the book, we want to see each chapter. And when we're through with this book, it's going to be the collective knowledge, experience, and wisdom of all 40 of us, not just one person. And they said, if we don't like what you write, then we will change it, we'll add to it, We'll delete from. We'll do whatever's necessary to make it the knowledge and experience of all 40 of us. Now, it's a little bit harder for me to argue with this thing when I consider that when they made the decision in 37, there was 40. And then when the book was printed in 39, there was 100. Because by 1939, if I argue with the book now, I'm going to be arguing with 100 people, not one person.
If you enjoyed this episode of Joe and Charlie from Akron in 1988 and would like to hear other versions, different seminars from different years, please visit our website, BigBookLivingLive.com.